Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
The Democratic Party is a party of many faiths. We support and defend a woman's right to choose a safe, legal abortion.
Let us, in the words of Scripture, hold firmly, without wavering, to the hope that we confess. Thank you. God bless you.
I am very pleased to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States, Governor Sarah Palin of the great state of Alaska.
We believe that we are all made in the image of our Creator, by whatever name we call him or her.
Well, with issues like the economy, suddenly, well, maybe not so suddenly, but certainly on the top of everyone's mind, I was listening to a roundtable of reporters this morning marveling at how much has changed in the presidential race. Now it's the economy. The economy, the economy. Bill Clinton must be patting himself on the back for having said so many years ago, it's the economy, stupid. And it did turn out to be not the war or any of the other things, but at least in the presidential race, the economy. But the economy has to do with my stuff and your stuff. And who's going to take my stuff? And why are they going to take it? And how are they going to spend it? And what happens to my stuff when I put it on loan with someone else? And what kind of interest rates can I get or can I charge? It's all very complicated. You know, there is a commandment among the Ten Commandments that God has given us that has to do with my property and your property. You shall not steal. We're going to be talking about that commandment with our pastor's roundtable live this Thursday, October the 30th. You can give us a call to 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. Before we begin our pastor's roundtable, I do want to remind everybody that tomorrow on the program, earlier than usual, you'll be able to hear a special bonus hour of Issues Etc. for Reformation. We're going to be talking with Pastor Paul McCain and with Dr. Martin Nolan, a special broadcast at 2 Central tomorrow afternoon. That's an hour before we normally begin, 3 Eastern, 1 Mountain, and noon Pacific. So join us for this extra hour of Issues Etc. with Pastor Paul McCain and Dr. Martin Nolan. We'll be talking about the Reformation tomorrow on the program. We'll also be responding to your questions and your comments on the Reformation tomorrow. It'll be just like normal Issues Etc., except a bonus hour, 1 hour early. That's at 2 Central. 2 Central, 3 Eastern, 1 Mountain, and noon Pacific, our special hour. A little later in this hour of Issues Etc., or in today's Issues Etc., Dr. Andrew Steinman's going to join us. Two news stories regarding archaeology. One, an alleged discovery of the oldest Hebrew text ever found, 3,000 years old, and also the alleged discovery of King Solomon's mines filled not with gold, but apparently with copper. And then Gretchen Passantino will join us. We'll talk about Halloween. Tomorrow is, of course, not only Reformation Day, but also Halloween. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Our pastor's roundtable today, Pastor Charlie Henriksen joins us here in studio. He's pastor of St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. Charlie, thanks for coming over.
Good to be back, Todd.
He got to see some of the finer side of Collinsville, Illinois, as he was making his way through its streets to our studio here, or to our bunker here. Again, I'm glad you made it on time. We had a bet going, actually, and I lost. So I owe Craig a six-pack of whatever he wants to drink, because I said you wouldn't make it before the bump music. He said you would. Craig is always more confident than
I. Well, I broke the commandment, thou shalt not turn onto the wrong interstate.
And joining us on the phone for our Pastor's Roundtable, Pastor Tom Crist. He's Associate Pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Tom, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Todd. Does this make it a triangle table since there's only three of us?
Yes, it's a three-cornered table.
What I was wondering, too. Is it more of an oval table rather than a round?
But our listeners need to know that the table here in our studios at Lutheran Public Radio is actually L-shaped. So no matter what we do or how many pastors we have, yes, L for Lutheran, that's right.
Very good.
And no matter how many pastors we have in our round table, it's never a round table. It's always an L-shaped table, and Pastor Henriksen can attest to that. Tom, on this commandment, you shall not steal, someone in your congregation, one of your parishioners, comes up to you and says, look, this commandment, the others I can see how they're relevant, but not for me. I haven't shoplifted. I have no criminal record when it comes to robbery. I haven't taken anything from work. I don't feel like I've really broken this commandment. What would you say to them?
Well, I guess, first of all, it depends on how much time I have to answer. But if I had a couple of moments, I guess what I would talk about is what I call the broad view of the commandments, and this applies to any of the commandments, versus what I call the checklist view of the commandments. And I think part of the genius of Luther's small catechism is that he gets us thinking in a broader way about each of these commandments. And rather than looking at it as a checklist of 10 specific sins that we can, you know, somehow avoid in life, because frankly, I've never murdered anyone, I've never shoplifted, I've never, you know, slept with someone besides my wife. So you could go down and give a little checklist like that and maybe do pretty well. But that's not the point. And Luther gets to the deeper application of the law, where the seventh commandment gets us talking about how do I sin when it comes to my neighbor's possessions. And so I would start conversation with that kind of insight. If I had just a short time, I would probably just, you know, rattle off the catechism, meaning to him that we should fear and love God, that we may not take our neighbor's money or possessions, nor get them by false wear or dealing, but help him to improve and protect his property and income. So,
Pastor Henriksen, why is property possessions important to God?
It's God's way of providing for his human creatures. And that's how our neighbor is blessed by God, is through his stuff that he gets. God built work into our character even before the fall. Adam was a gardener. So it's a gift from God, and we should treat our neighbor's possessions as God's gift to our neighbor. But can I piggyback just a little bit on what Pastor Crist said about the breaking of this commandment? You know, he said, well, I haven't committed murder or whatever. You know, and he quotes from Luther, Pastor Crist, you quoted from Luther's Small Catechism, and rightly so. But I think Luther may have gotten this idea from Jesus, because Jesus says this very same thing, this broader interpretation of the commandments. I kind of use the idea of an umbrella commandment to extend not only to the outward deed, the outward act, but also to thought and word. You've been having this series, Todd, on the Ten Commandments. Think back to the fifth and sixth commandments, what Jesus says about those commandments in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. But I say unto you, if you have anger in your heart toward your brother, you've already committed murder. Or you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you, if you have lust toward your neighbor's wife, you've already committed adultery with her in her heart. So this is the principle of interpretation of these commandments that Jesus himself gives, so that we don't think we can skate by as having kept the commandments, like that rich young ruler who said, all these I have kept since I was young.
You know what's interesting, Charlie, too, he also summarizes them and, you know, boils them down to two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. And if you do both of those with all your heart, soul, and mind, you really don't need any other laws. But as we summarize them and as we fan them out into, you know, more specifics, I think we gain a greater understanding of what God expects of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess what most people who are passingly familiar with Scripture will say at this point is, look, we live in a fallen world, and therefore we have stuff like private property and stuff and my stuff and your stuff. But the Christians, especially in the first century, tried to get past all that. In fact, if you read the book of Acts, you'll find these Christians having everything in common and selling their possessions and giving to the poor, and at least for a time, trying to live what I guess the old hippies would have said was communally. Is that the right way of reading that, Pastor Henriksen?
If you're taking it in the way of government forcing this, that would be completely different from what we read in the Christian community. First of all, we're dealing with the church, with Christians. And yes, they did share as anyone had need, but that was voluntarily. That's the key difference between voluntary giving toward those in need, which is enjoined all over the scriptures, Old Testament and New, and exampled in the scriptures as well, as you mentioned in the book of Acts. But that necessitated them having property to begin with. Joseph Barnabas sold property to help out and so forth. But that was his voluntary choice. So there's a key difference right there.
With only about 30 seconds here, Pastor Chris, before we take our break, do we have to have a kind of fully capitalist Ayn Rand view of my personal property, my personal interests, in order to really understand this commandment, you shall not steal? Or is there a better view of property and possessions in Scripture than that? About 30 seconds.
Well, I think you'd be hard-pressed to fit any economic or, you know, political framework onto what Scripture talks about. It doesn't really talk in those terms, but I think, you know, I like what Pastor Henriksen was saying about the voluntary nature of it, where, you know, we are enjoined by Scripture to voluntarily use our possessions for the good of others and to the glory of God.
Okay, let's take a break right there, because when we come back, there are going to be those who say, look, if we are to be using our possessions for our neighbor's benefit and to the glory of God, then that might mean, you know, we're reluctant people. We're fallen people, and since we're reluctant to share, maybe the government does have to make us share. We will be talking about taxes, too. You shall not steal. Our Pastor's Roundtable will be right back. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc., David Voss, Jana Lee Heidenreich, Timothy Newman, Kevin Shedron, Byron Alberts, Ray Pritchard, Lois Ann Uliza, Michael Uliza, Cheryl Greip, and Alex Easy. Thanks for your support.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our Pastor's Roundtable, regular weekly occurrence here on Issues Etc. We're walking through the commandments, you shall not steal. That's another one of those commandments that the average person would remember. Kill and steal and maybe commit adultery, but then beyond that, their knowledge of the Ten Commandments is pretty sparse. That's why we're doing this series here on Issues Etc., to improve all of us in our understanding of these commandments and ultimately of Christ's obedience to these commandments. Pastor Tom Crist, Associate Pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, is on the phone, and Pastor Charlie Henriksen here in studio with us, Pastor of St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Thursday, October the 30th. All right. Since we are reluctant, Pastor Crist, to part with our stuff, even for the sake of our neighbor, someone might say, well, this is part of the reason why we have government, to coerce us through its powers to do what we know we ought to do anyway. How would you respond to that?
First, I wanted to make a comment about Charlie's thing about the early communist Christians.
Oh, do.
That didn't work perfectly either, if you'll remember. There was some dispute about whose widows were getting overlooked in the daily distribution of food, so that wasn't a perfect situation either. But to the question of, you know, taxes and the government, you know, taking from us, Scripture does tell us to pay our taxes. Jesus himself, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And I've got Romans 13 up on my computer here where he says, pay to all what is owed him, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, etc. I think government using taxes for the purposes of government is a good and godly thing to do. I think the question that's really maybe tough to answer is, when does government go too far in unjustly exacting taxes from its citizens?
All right, let's talk about that, because Charlie, before we came on the air, you said you wanted to say a little something about the redistribution of wealth. It's one of those terms that's somehow found its way back into popular political parlance.
Yeah, usually I don't try to get too overtly political, but when I'm hearing in the last couple of weeks one of the candidates talking about redistribution of wealth and spreading the wealth around, and by that he means to take out of the pockets of some citizens their money against their will and redistributing it to other citizens who didn't work for it. Frankly, I'll be controversial. I'll say I think it's a form of stealing.
Okay, make your case there, because how would you distinguish that from what Pastor Crist talked
right.
about in yeah. terms of our duty to pay, as Paul would say, tribute to whom tribute
yes.
is due, taxes to whom taxes are due.
And he's absolutely right. And Romans 13 and Jesus in Matthew 22, rendered under Caesar, God has ordained government, and governments need taxes to do their thing. That's what governments do. But just
I think the question is, what is the government's thing? You know, I mean, when you look at Romans 13 and you see why God institutes the governing authorities, it is to be an agent of his wrath on the wrongdoer, so to punish wrong and to reward good. And also, I think you can see in Scripture that governments protect the people from invaders and from other people doing them grievous wrongs like murder. But I think part of the government's job is to protect people from stealing your possessions, or protect you from people stealing your possessions. So it's kind of interesting when you talk about the government stealing your money. It's
yeah.
kind of upside down in a way.
There are certain legitimate functions of government, and in particular our government, like national defense and you know roads or paying policemen or something like soldiers. But to simply transfer wealth from some citizens to other citizens against their will, I just don't think that's right.
Okay. Is it a violation of this commandment to do what so many giant faceless financial institutions have done over the last 10 years, and that is to give money to people knowing they can't pay it back, knowing full well that somewhere down the line someone's going to have to pay it back? Irresponsibility with my money, your money, whoever's money. Is this in some sense a violation of this commandment about stealing, Pastor Henriksen?
Sure. I think it can. In fact, I think it can work on both ends. you know, and here I could blame the Democrats and the Republicans, both the money borrowers and the money lenders. When the Democrats, through the loaning agencies, put pressure on the banks to extend loans to people who couldn't pay them back reasonably, and then they're trying to make money off the foreclosures or whatever, and then we have to bail them out. I mean, there's enough blame to go around on both ends there.
All right, Pastor Christ, it seems to me that there's a lot of blame, as Pastor Hendrickson has just pointed out, a lot of blame coming out of this commandment toward us all. I mean, I'm thinking about, should I really have taken out that home equity loan? And yeah, I can pay it back. But was it a real responsible use of the gifts that God had given me materially and all sorts of other things? How have you broken this commandment, you shall not steal?
Oh, in countless ways. I like how you get the pastors on here confessing their sins. I like, last week I was listening to Bart Day talking about how he's an adulterer. And, whoa. I think any time you misuse the property gift that God gives you. I'll give you one example. You know, when I don't work as hard as I should, mm-hmm. I'm stealing, in a sense, from my employer, my congregation. And sometimes you can steal from people without actually taking a thing by not giving them what is owed them in return, you know. You can steal when, I mean, just the little things, you know, you go to the grocery store and the clerk gives you an extra dollar's change. I know mm-hmm. a lot of people have this mentality, well, bank error in my favor, they gave me an extra dollar, I put it in my pocket. I think the honest Christian thing to do, the right thing, is to give it back, you know. That's a small scale thing. Sure, there are larger ones too. I won't confess any of those on the air, though.
Pastor Hendrickson, let's talk about, because what's come along with this notion of possessions and how God provides for us is the biblical categories of vocation and of labor. Does God value labor?
As I said earlier, yes. God built work into our nature, making Adam the first farmer. And you read in early Genesis about the various occupations, who was the first metalsmith, and so on. The disciples were fishermen, and Matthew was a tax collector. St. Paul was a tent maker. So they had various occupations. And this was in order to be a blessing to other people. Through our vocations, we are blessings to other people. I would make a lousy cook. I would make a lousy farmer. So there are other people in our society who do those things. And then through my work, what I can do, I earn my own daily bread, but I do it because there are other people doing their jobs. And it helps all of us, this division of labor.
Pastor Christ, your thoughts on how God weaves together, and I think literally the word used in Scripture in Greek here is economy. It is God's household, the way he runs the household of man. Your thoughts on our vocations and how God kind of works it all together so that the neighbor is provided for?
Well, God is the original worker, isn't he? He's the one who did the work of creation. And then good point to note is that work was part of our pre-fall existence. You know, Adam, before the fall, was given the work of tending the garden. So work, while many people find it to be, somewhat of a burden and a trouble today, in and of itself, work is a good thing and a good gift of God, a way in which God uses to provide for us those things that we need from day to day. Your ability to go out and earn a living in and of itself is a gift from God.
This really ties into first article of the Creed or
and
the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer about how God, as our kind and heavenly Father, provides for our daily needs and gives us our daily bread through people.
Okay, Pastor Christ, there's a passage famously from Jesus where he talks about a situation where someone might steal from you. He says, if someone, your neighbor, takes from you your cloak, then give him also your coat or something like that. And
right.
He makes it sound as though if someone steals from you, you should, in fact, heap upon him something he didn't even try and take from you. Give him even what he didn't try and steal. What is Jesus saying here? We got about a minute and a half before our break.
Well, I think Jesus speaks sometimes in hyperbole, you know. But the point is that our physical possessions are not simply to be hoarded and kept for ourselves, but, and this is the other kind of half of the coin in the commandment, is not only does God forbid us to steal, but he also commands us to use our possessions for good and to help our neighbor with his possessions and his physical blessings as well.
Well, when we come back, there's a passage from the epistle from the Apostle James where he says, if you see your brother naked or in need, and you say to him, well, God bless you, brother, be warm and fed, and then you run off to do your missionary work or your evangelism, you have not helped your brother. In fact, you have done with your life what contrary to your confession with your lips. Why is it that God makes each of us our brother's keeper? Why does he make us responsible for one another and one another's well-being, not only in body but also in his possessions? We're talking about the commandment, you shall not steal. Our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday, October the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. David Tice, John Spitzer, Kristen Dugdale, Raymond Westrope, Pastor Timothy Booth, Joel Meischel, Kathy Manis, William Smith, Gregorio Montejo, and Billy L.C. Jeffcoat. Thanks for your support.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Ever consider the cost of abortion in dollars and cents? Researcher Dennis Howard figured out what the loss of more than 50 million unborn babies since abortion was legalized means in cold, hard cash. The cost of human carnage is immeasurable, but those who remain unconvinced in the face of this moral tragedy should know abortion has cost our economy $35 trillion in lost productivity. This comes in lost taxes paid, which funds teachers, underwrites health care benefits, and puts additional police on the streets. Social Security may become a thing of the past with far fewer babies being born. We can't put a price on human life, but it may make a compelling argument to those who can only relate to a loss measured by the almighty dollar.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc., talking about the commandment, you shall not steal, with our pastor's roundtable. You know, we always say that we love our on-demand listeners. We really, really do. In fact, we love them so much that we have tomorrow's candidates for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week already posted for you, so you can get out and vote early for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. You'll find these four soundbites at our website, issuesetc.org, under the on-demand page, issuesetc.org. And you can email your votes to us, talkback@issuesetc.org. You know, when we play soundbite of the week, if you vote late, it doesn't count. But if you vote early, especially our on-demand listeners, it really does count. So you can start voting right now for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. You'll have to email us unless you want to wait until tomorrow and then give us a call when we play soundbite of the week. Talkback at issuesetc.org.
Now, Todd, what about Pastor Christ and myself and today's program? Are we eligible for a soundbite of the week at any week?
Well,
or are we disenfranchised?
No, we have not disenfranchised anyone. In fact, if either of you
come up with something brilliant,
then it goes into next week's soundbite of the week.
Good.
Because what we usually do is we got to have them picked by Thursday. And so really our week starts Friday. You were going to say something, Jeffy?
I haven't heard anything that's soundbite of the week eligible from these two yet, have you?
No, really. I mean, not yet. It's got a shot.
Boys, you got 20 minutes.
All right.
20 minutes to pull out a soundbite of the week.
Step up our game here.
No, you guys are doing great. It's just, I mean, soundbite of the week? Come on.
Yeah, that's.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. Has Charlie ever been part of the soundbite of the week yet? No, he hasn't. Jeff has this kind of encyclopedic memory. Some people are in there all the time, but every once in a while, someone distinguishes themselves. Charlie, you wanted to talk about the what we call the three uses of the law,
yeah,
and the Holy Spirit's three uses of the law. We shouldn't talk about our three uses, but the Holy Spirit's three uses of the law with regard to this commandment: you shall not steal.
All right, just to review, and this applies for the whole series you're doing on the Ten Commandments. What we in doctrine talk about as the first use or function of the law would be to keep order in society. And this is particularly true of these commandments in what we call the second table of the law. From honor your father and mother, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. These are especially true in keeping an ordered society. And so God wrote his law on the hearts of men. And so this is not limited to so-called Christian nations. But generally, you look at cultures throughout history all around the world, and they have, to a greater or lesser extent, their own laws following these laws explicitly in the Ten Commandments about prohibitions against murder and stealing and those or lying in court in particular. So that's what we call the first use of the law, to keep order in the world. Second use of the law is really the most important one in terms of salvation. And that is that the law shows us our sins. And so when it comes to our need for a Savior, which then we find in the gospel, but unless you see your need for a Savior, you're not going to be interested in Jesus. So you have to realize that you have broken these commandments, every single one of them, and that you are a sinner and have no help within yourself. And so even with this commandment, you shall not steal, I need to realize that I am a thief. I have stolen. Now, I don't go around robbing banks, but as Pastor Chris said, if I don't give a good day of work for what people pay me, I am, in effect, stealing. Or if I'm an employer and I don't pay my employees what they're really worth and I try to take advantage of them, I am stealing.
Or could it go so far as even if my heart's not in it, I'm doing my work,
yeah,
but I am resentful of my work or my employer. I mean, I know that stretches, we might go up against the commandment, honor your father and mother, but
yeah,
someone who does their work, but they do it lazily, they still get the job done.
You can break this commandment in thought, word, or deed by what you do against it and by what you fail to do to keep it, both what we call sins of commission, when you actively break it, and sins of omission, where you fail to do the good of loving your neighbor.
Okay, the third use or the third function.
Well, the third use would be, this would be, now this one is a little less clear among theologians, but the way I learned it was that whereas the law does not give you the power to live as a Christian, that comes only from the gospel. But now as a Christian, you can see what works are pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit, through the gospel, gives you the desire and the power to please God, and you're covered by Christ's forgiveness. But now you can see that doing a godly vocation is a good work. You don't have to run off and join a monastery to be doing good works that are pleasing to God. So this, in the sense, is we call this a guide for Christian living. So these three uses we sometimes call the curb, the mirror, and the rule.
Pastor Christ, does this commandment encompass in any sense whatsoever not only Christian charity, but what we would think of in terms of, you know, Sunday morning, the offerings that Christians give.
Well, I think it's a great stewardship guide, you know, for how do we manage all of our physical blessings, the possessions that we have in life. You know, there's a kind of a paradox here, where on the one hand, we Christians freely admit that everything we have ultimately belongs to God and is going back to God, right? You can't take it with you. So what we're giving in our offerings or whatever, our donations to charities, they're not our possessions in the first place. However, as we said before, God does affirm the right of personal property and of ownership, and otherwise society couldn't really exist and function without it. I think it's worth thinking about, you know, am I holding back too much from God, what I could be giving to him in my offerings and my gifts in the collection plate? Is there a place to say, you know, maybe I'm stealing because I'm not giving him what I could or should? I think so. That's maybe a sort of a sin of omission or not committing enough of what you could in joyful thanks for what he's given you.
Let's talk about Jesus keeping this commandment on our behalf. Can you think, Pastor Henriksen, of any place in the Gospels where we can observe either explicitly or implicitly Jesus obeying this commandment, you shall not steal?
Well, he certainly taught his disciples to do good to one another. I'm trying to think of an example where he actually did. Obviously, he never stole anything, but I'm trying to think of an example other than his teaching. Maybe, Pastor Chris, you can help me out. I'm just scanning my brain here.
Yeah, Jesus lived fairly humbly, you know, and I think that's maybe a good, you know, what would Jesus do type thing for the Christian. You know, I think he certainly didn't set his heart on the continual lust for more earthly possessions. He talked about, you know, foxes have holes and whatever, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. He lived very humbly. He trusted in God to provide for him, and God did. So I think that's perhaps a way of guiding us into how we think of earthly possessions.
He certainly fed the multitudes when they were hungry. Of course, he did it in a very supernatural way, but
right.
Cared for their bodily needs.
Well, I'm thinking about back to the taxes issue when he is being kind of harangued by the Herodians over the temple tax. And Peter comes to him and says, what are we going to do? He sends Peter out to do his job. And lo and behold, in doing his job, there's enough in the fish's mouth to pay the tax for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's provision there at the very
least. And Jesus' teaching, of course, you know, take, for example, the Good Samaritan, who out of his own effort and expense paid for the man who was injured on the road. You know, whatever I owe you, I will pay you, this sort of thing.
And Jesus is really the Good Samaritan in that parable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's him. He's the one who provides for us who are beaten and bloodied by sin. He gives us the riches of his own self, his blood, his life for us.
So really, if you think about it this way and go to Philippians chapter 2, it seems as though part of what Paul is telling us about Jesus' entire life and ministry is that although he is the rightful owner of everything, all the stuff, it belongs to him, he essentially bankrupts himself, gives it all up so that he might act as our Savior when he was under no obligation other than love and mercy to do so. With about 30 seconds here, Pastor Henriksen, your thoughts.
Yeah, you made me think of 2 Corinthians 8, you know, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 about stewardship. But he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich.
It's the great cosmic bailout.
Huh, that's a good way of thinking about it. What a bailout.
God's riches at Christ's expense.
It's grace.
Pastor Tom Christ is Associate Pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, and Pastor Charlie Henriksen here in studio is Pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri, part of our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday, October the 30th. We have 10 minutes left for your questions or your comments on the commandment, you shall not steal. Our call-in number, it's toll-free. You don't have to pay for it. We pay for it. We'll carry the freight there. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. Two thoughts as we go into this last 10 minutes. We haven't gotten to the whole brother's keeper thing, but also, you gotta wonder about our constant greed and our desire for more. Is that a breaking of this commandment? Stay tuned.
It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Leela Risch, Sharon Voslow, Charles Bishop, David McKeela, Pastor Monty Meyer, C. Campbell, Luke Whiting, Raymond Kendall, Katie Kleino, and Jeremy Kleino. Thanks for your support.
The toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor John Pless, on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Ancient collects of the church are included along with newly crafted prayers, drawing together things old and new that will provide fresh springs from God's living words to edify and enlighten users for years to come.
A Christ-centered, cross-focused family devotional, Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org.
I'm driving a stolen car down on Eldridge Avenue.
Well, folks, tomorrow is Reformation Day. We're going to be broadcasting 3 hours of Issues Etc. tomorrow in celebration of that. We'll begin with an hour early, a discussion of the Reformation with Pastor Paul McCain and Dr. Martin Nolan. That's Issues Etc. live from 2 to 5, 3 to 6 Eastern. So it's 2 to 5 Central, 3 to 6 Eastern, 1 to 4 Mountain, and noon to 3 Pacific, just to apply the time zone that applies to you. We'll be talking about the Reformation and starting an hour early live, taking your phone calls and your email on the Reformation, then the regular 2 hours of Issues Etc. Friday on the program. We're talking about the commandment, you shall not steal. It's our pastor's roundtable. 10 more minutes, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's talk a little bit about greed, or this sense that we have, no matter how much we get, it's never enough. No matter how much I make, it's still not enough. No matter how much I have, it still never satisfies. Pastor Henriksen, this seems to be essential to our sinful nature, the inability to be satisfied with what God gives us.
And this is not limited, greed is not limited to the rich, is it? You could be rich and yet not greedy. You could be poor, and yet you could be greedy. It's this desire for more, this lack of contentment. Here is where I think the seventh commandment borders into the ninth commandment, which you're going to get to in the near future. But I mean, the ninth commandment about coveting our neighbor's house really shows us where the problem lies deep in our heart, that sinful desire for always more, this lack of contentment with what God gives us, not trusting in our Heavenly Father who clothes the flowers of the field or feeds the birds of the air.
Pastor Christ, we think this way, the capitalists that we are, not necessarily always a bad thing when it comes to the affairs of men, but when it comes to the affairs of God, those things above us, there's no free lunch. Everything comes at a price. It's quid pro quo in this life. Does this, in some sense, for Christians, undermine faith in what Pastor Henriksen had mentioned before, the free gift of God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ?
You know, it's an interesting question. Is the world this way because of our sinful nature, or is it just fed by that? You know, surely, I think it's hard for us to really believe that anything can be truly free. And when we think of God's grace, we're, you know, our old sinful nature, who's well used to paying for everything in this world, wants to pay God something. I hear people say that all the time. How can I repay God? You know, you can't. Receive the gift as it's given. It's an interesting paradox between the world that we live in, which functions with property and, as you say, quid pro quos, and the divine economy in which you get everything for free from Christ.
Scott in Illinois emails us. He says, when I read Matthew 12 in my younger days growing up on a farm, it alarmed me. Not so much that Jesus and his disciples were harvesting, so to speak, on the Sabbath, but they would take grain from fields they did not own. I thought, why is Jesus stealing? As it turns out, the Old Testament law allows for the poor to do this. I wonder what your guests can say to this issue, and certain measures of mercy seem built into the seventh commandment, you shall not steal. Pastor Henriksen first.
Yeah, remember, Israel was both church and state. And one of the ways to provide for those with no visible means of support was this gleaning law that when people had gotten what they had earned from their fields, kind of the leftovers, the poor could go through and take from. And it wasn't hurting anybody.
They were instructed to, if something fell on the ground, to leave it there for the poor.
Yeah. God wants us to help the poor. That's true. And in the New Testament church, you see this all over the place. Now, part of our problem is that the federal government has taken away function of helping the poor, which used to be the purview of individuals, families, churches, local neighborhoods, communities, and so on, charities. And so we've kind of lost that over, well, since FDR and Lyndon Johnson. We've kind of lost our sense of helping, although we are still generous. And for instance, through LCMS, Rural Relief and Human Care, and we still help people all over the world in need. God is in favor of helping the poor and needy through his Christians, very much so, as a voluntary act of love.
Pastor Christ, your thoughts there?
You know, I think it's interesting when Christians are faced with the prospect of, you know, say some beggar coming up to them on the street asking for money or whatever. And I know some Christians who feel that, you know, God just wants them to give to anyone who asks. And I know other Christians who really struggle, well, how can I best help that mm-hmm. person? Some people's response to that is, well, hey, if you're hungry, I'll buy you a meal, but I'm not going to give you $20 because I don't know what you're going to do with it. And then other people would direct them to whatever social agency or whatever. But I think it's a struggle. How do we best help and serve the needy? It's not always so easy as just opening up your wallet.
Pastor Christ, why has God made us our brother's keeper? Why has he made me responsible for my neighbor?
Well, I don't know if I have the answer so much as why, but the observation that he does. You know, God doesn't come down to the earth and change diapers. He gives parents and you know, to do that for the children. He doesn't open up a soup kitchen and stand on the corner, but he gives Christians to help the poor and the needy. And I think those vocations that he gives us are the ways that he does those things. He works through people, through these means of vocation. And I was going to suggest, too, that another way that we help the poor is by raising our children. You know, my children don't really own anything, but I have to buy them lots of stuff, I'm finding out. And, you know, that's one way that I am my brother's, or in this case, my daughter's keeper, as I give them what they need to support their bodily life.
As Christians, as children of God, we share in the character of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father's character is to love. And we, as his children, are our brother's keeper because it gives us an opportunity to love, not just in a mushy emotion, but in a real helping way. And God blesses people through other people. We are the masks of God in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Before we leave off here, we were talking during the break, Charlie, and you said this commandment really pins us all. It's got us all against the wall 100%. You had some thoughts briefly, with only about a minute here, from Luther, the large catechism, on how this is the commandment. What does he say? The largest, it's kind of the largest enterprise going among men, with only a minute here.
In the large catechism, Martin Luther gets by right away in the first couple sentences. Oh, of course, this covers the robbers, the thieves that we normally think of. But I don't want you to escape this commandment. He talks about all the ways that we take advantage of our neighbor. When we take advantage of our neighbor in the marketplace, the grocery store, the butcher shop, wine or beer cellar, workshop. If we're not faithful in our work, we cause damage to property. Laziness, carelessness, spite, when we overcharge people, dishonest business practices. And then he sums it up. He says, thievery is, in short, the most common craft and the largest trade union on earth. We are all thieves. We all need this Savior, Jesus Christ.
Pastor Charlie Henriksen is pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. Great way to end. Thanks for being our guest.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Todd.
Pastor Tom Crist, Associate Pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. It's great talking with you again, Tom, and thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. Good to see you.
Folks, remember, tomorrow, Issues Etc. begins an hour early, 2 Central, 3 Eastern, 1 Mountain, and noon Pacific, a Reformation 3-hour special tomorrow on Issues Etc. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Also, remember, we have Soundbite of the Week already posted at the website for tomorrow's game. It means you can vote early for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, issuesetc.org, and email your vote to talkback@issuesetc.org. The greatest franchise that we have going is thievery. And none of us in any of our dealings with one another when it comes to our material possessions escape this commandment, you shall not steal, because we do, and we are in fact a generation of thieves. And yet into this generation of thieves comes one single honest man who never steals and never takes what belongs to him, but does exactly the opposite. He takes everything that does belong to him and gives it freely to us. Even his own life, even his own blood, even his own body at the cross. This Jesus Christ, the only honest man in a world of thieves and liars and deceivers and those who take what do not belong to them. And he gives freely to each and every one of us, purely out of his mercy and grace, for the sake of his sacrifice for us at the cross. He gives freely to us not only what we need for this life and body, protecting us, providing for us, caring for us, sustaining us every day, but what we need for this life and the life to come. His mercy, his forgiveness of sins, his life and salvation. This is the kind of Savior we have. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for the second hour of Issues Etc. in just about 5 minutes. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkins and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.